This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Lamar Jackson stinks.
It's the guru, Steiny, guru. Steiny, guru, Steiny show. Let's go.
All right. I don't think he's the MVP front runner right now, though. Got to be Josh Allen, right?
It's a wrap.
For now. Yeah. Lamar was horrible against the Steelers.
Apparently that's part of his track record.
Our friendship is going to be tested after we get Eddie. I got to bring something up.
Well,
it's about you.
About to Eddie?
No, to you. After
well,
Eddie.
Well, Eddie, we don't have Eddie right
okay,
now.
Okay, so.
He's probably golfing.
We've been together
There's
for
no
about 7 years, and I've grown working with you, and you've grown working with me. I've taught you about the streets.
Well, that's true.
Code of conduct.
They're true. That's
and
true.
And you've taught me how to tip, and you followed my tips where you opened the thing to see how much I tipped. But also, last Friday, something happened. One of our coworkers went and made a couple purchases, so we had IOUs, and you sent me that person's Venmo, and then you doubled back. You didn't know I knew this to make sure I sent the funds to right. that person, and the funds got sent. But Bonte sent us a text here, sorry, and it's kind of bothering me because I know who you are at your core, yeah. and as a show, it hurts us if we have IOUs out there. So I'm just not calling you out at all because I'd never do that. But I am shocked at what I read, and I just. You know, let you speak into the mic on, does that person have it wrong? Because the Steiny I know, Spadoni that we know, would ever not have an outstanding IOU out there in the streets.
I don't have an outstanding IOU out there in the streets. In fact, look at the text thread again, and you will see the receipt okay. from the money okay, I sent Bonte's friend for being in the okay. bogus NCAA pool that I didn't have a shot at.
I wonder how that came up. Somebody you know, sent my
let
man.
Let me tell you what it is.
I don't like that.
Let me tell you what I think it might have something to do with it. I don't want to question anybody's character, but it may have something to do with drug use.
Whoa!
And just forgetting. You know, when somebody pays you money,
right?
And then 6 months later, you say, "Hey, you still owe me money." If you don't have a receipt. You're in trouble.
Well, you did that with Lucas Alexander when you won the fantasy.
Luckily, I have a receipt.
All right.
And I used it.
All right. I just wanted to make sure if we're out and about, we ain't got no problems.
Please. All right. You know what? I can't live with myself when I owe somebody money. You worried about the free throw issues?
Oh, I thought you were doing that. Steiny, I am.
Okay. What? Hey, Steve Kerr, are you worried about the free throws?
I talk to guys individually periodically about free throws, but as a team, the only thing we've really done in the past when we practice is we'll put pressure on them at the end of practice. Like, you know, you got to come out in front of the whole team and make two. Otherwise, you got to do an up and back. So we'll try to simulate pressure, and we'll do that occasionally. But once the season starts, you know, you're hardly ever practicing. Most practices are walkthroughs. Your players are resting. You don't get to a whole lot of that. So most free throw shooting is done on an individual base. And clearly, I'm going to have to address it. And it's never really been an issue for us in the past. It's probably the first year I can ever remember that we've had, you know, real problems from the line. So definitely something we've got to address.
Let me tell you why I'm concerned.
Okay.
If you're correct, and right now it looks like you are, because the coach said he's going to go 11-12 deep, it's not just like you got three chickens in the coop, Stoney. You got 12 or 11 guys that got to get better at it. And you can do the old Will Biggs, my high school coach at Logan, up and back, but you can never simulate the game.
All right. All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. Eddie, what's going on, man?
Man, I'm hanging in there. I'm just looking at that overrated team y'all look at every night. But other than that,
oh, Eddie coming in hot.
Before we get into the jokes, let me ask you this, Eddie. You know, Steve Kerr said, talking about using an 11 or a 12 man rotation, and so far he's kind of stuck to it. Is that sustainable?
Yeah, it is, because most of the players on that team are pretty similar to each other. They're not heavily counted on to do a lot past Steph, Buddy Hield, Wiggins, in regards to the scoring department. So they're a lot like Draymond in a sense. With, you know, the role that Draymond plays for this team, it's almost they're branching off of Draymond more than they're branching off of Steph, Buddy Hield, and Wiggins. You get what I'm saying. So, you know, Steve was a role player himself.
Yep.
So he understands the dynamic of it. He understands what to say to them and what to get them to do. And then also send a message by playing time. Like, if you're playing well, you stay on the court. If you're not, the next guy that's waiting to get those minutes is going to be on the court. That's the way he's coaching. I think he planned it all along, and I'll just go back to the summer. And Steve's a good friend, so I want to say that first. I love him to death, okay? But everybody was worried about, like, and complaining that he wasn't playing Tatum in the Olympics. I happen to think he did Tatum a favor, in a sense, because Tatum he's fresh. He's aggressive. You saw what he did last night against Cleveland. And then he played the heck out of KD and Devin. Like, he wore them down.
Oh, wow.
Wait. He wore LeBron down. He wore AD down. AD was limping at times. He still had him out there on the court. See, Steve's good. He's like, I don't have to deal with Boston. You know, so I'm just going to just concentrate on just making Devin Booker turn into a defender and get his mind off of scoring. So it'd be hard for him to make the adjustment back to scoring. But he's a really good professor, man. Like, I just figured that out the other day. That was a good game plan by Steve. But, you know, all jokes aside, he's doing a tremendous job, man. I told him that the other day. I talked to him. To me, a number of years ago, guys, you remember when obviously you do, when they had the worst record in the league.
Mm-hmm.
I told him, I said, man, this is probably your best coaching job because you had to practice all the time. You had to coach. You had to be strategic more than in the past. You didn't just sit back and relax like Phil Jackson used to do because you had Steph and Clay out there. And now you had the coach. And I think coming into this year, he had the same mentality. And he's coaching his butt off. And Eric Spoelstra, at a number of years, you know, supposed to be the best coach in the league. But after those couple of blunders he had last week, like the rankings go, I think Steve jumped over him.
Mm. Wow, I got you.
Yeah, so, you know, he's done a tremendous job.
Hey, Eddie, my partner and I, we keep it real tended to. We do it, and we've been critical over the years of Draymond Green when he does something on the court to kind of, you know, leave his teammates out there hanging. But this year, he has been a monster on the court, Eddie, and his podium game. He's been a leader. But Friday night, he got a foul, and it was upgraded to a flagrant one holding Edie's foot. And it was no big deal to me, but he went on his podcast and said the NBA ratings are down. They need his name. You played this game. You know Dre. So, one, what did you make of the play? And two, I'm telling my partner, I think him talking about it, you know, from they need him makes it worse. So, your thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, you know, I listened to his podcast the other day. There's a snippet of it. You know, and he made a statement. You know, he was going to Taylor Jenkins, calling him soft. And then he was saying, you're hurting Edie by babying him.
Mm.
That the league needs tough guys. The league needs enforcers. Now, I would agree with Draymond in regards to the physicality. Yes, the league needs more physicality. The league, every team needs an enforcer. But enforcers don't grab people's damn ankles and risk their career.
Mm.
They don't do that. Enforcers get in your face, and they're willing to throw down. Draymond have in his career so far?
None.
I just don't, you know, like, you're testing people and you're saying these things knowing that guys aren't going to fight because guys don't want to lose hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right.
Back in the day, some guys didn't even get fined. Like, back in the day, if they did get fined, it was like maybe a couple of thousand. Like, can you imagine if he grabbed Charles Oakley's ankle?
No.
Yeah, we can't,
can
man.
You imagine if he grabbed Robert Parrish's ankle? A Karl Malone, a Charles Ankle. Can you imagine? His manhood would be tested then. Like, yeah. He's talking about Edie, and you're talking about a rookie that's just gotten to the league, a guy that's so big and strong that if he lost his temper, he probably would kill you.
Yeah.
But yet, you're testing his manhood, yeah. Saying he got to test his manhood on the floor. I just don't understand that part of it. You know, be physical. You know, we had a rule. Don't hit below the belt. Don't hit above the shoulder. Mm. Okay? And that rule was forever in the league. And so when you're grabbing somebody, they're getting ready to run down the court, and they're not expecting that. Like, if you're boxing out with Draymond, you already expect that you might get an elbow to the stomach.
Yeah.
An elbow to the chest. You know that could come, right? Or if you're going in for a shot, it might be a hard foul. You expect it.
Yeah.
If you don't expect getting a rebound and throwing an outlet pass, what? Damn dude grabbing your damn ankle.
The one thing I was thinking
of, he doesn't get it, man. He does not get it. You know, that can ruin somebody's career. You know, you just don't do stuff like that. And then promote it and start talking like, man, you know, we got to make him tough. Come on, man. If Steven Adams wanted to go ballistic when he hit him below the belt that time,
yep.
What do you all think would have happened?
Could've pandemonium, got... Eddie.
Yep. Eddie Johnson joining us.
What do you think would have been the result?
Pain.
Adams would have thrown him around the arena.
Oh, man. Eddie Johnson. Hey.
That's the part that just gets me. That's all.
I got you. Eddie Johnson joining us on 95.7 The Game. Played 17 years in the league. Phoenix Suns analyst since 2003. Let me get back to this 11 or 12 man rotation, because the way I'm looking at it right now, I feel like half the league is load managing. The new goal of the season for players is to play 60 games. And my feeling is that the reason this could work is in the regular season, particularly, is if you've got 10 or 11 guys who are playing every night and they're playing teams that are missing their star players every other night, I feel like the Warriors can win a lot of regular season games this year this way. I don't know about the playoffs, but I think the regular season, they might be able to use this to their advantage these days.
Well, it's all predicated right now based on how everything is working with this way of coaching. Is Steph has to stay healthy, okay, because he is the hub of all of this. And then Buddy Hield's got to keep playing like he wants a sixth man of the year off the bench. If either one of those guys are compromised, then I foresee a 10-game losing streak, okay? That's how quick it can turn. Now, you see what's happening to my sons. KD and Bill goes down, and we've lost, what, five in a row? Like, it can turn quickly if you lose key guys that lead the other guys that play a role. Because if Steph goes down, then what? Kuminga's got to be more aggressive. Can he do it consistently? Right? And Draymond goes down, and I put Draymond as a third person, Kyle Anderson all of a sudden got to do his best Draymond impersonation, like over a period of starter minutes a game, right? Will he be able to do that? See, that is the question,
yeah.
Right? That's the question that you have to deal with when you're dealing with a team that's playing this way. But the way that they're playing now, they have a lot of confidence. They got great hustle guys. They're playing great defense. It's just a lot of good things to say about what's going on right now in Golden State. And I'm just tired of saying, you know, that they're done, right? I didn't have them making the playoffs this year. I was looking at the roster. And look, Kyle Anderson is a kid that I've trained since high school. Okay, so I know he can play. Buddy Hield can flat out shoot it. But he looked like he couldn't shoot last year in Philly. Like, so for me, and I was looking at the team, Moses Moody. I mean, look, when he does play his minutes, I mean, the guy looks like he can play. He got a good offense, but it's hard to find consistent minutes for him. That was a question mark. Kuminga, I mean, is he going to be upset because of his contract and not getting extended? You know, so is that going to play a role with him? So there's just a lot of questions out there, right? Gary Payton II, you know, he has a propensity to get hurt a lot because of the way that he plays. So I was looking at all of that, and I was like, I don't know. You know, and so I'm going to stop doing that with any Steve Kerr, Pop. I stopped doing it with Popovich, and obviously Steve Kerr is a disciple of Popovich. You just never count them out because of their ability to galvanize guys and motivate and get them ready to play.
Mm. Eddie, I'm a 70s baby, man. I don't want to sound like I'm complaining to you, but it's real. I know these guys, these players are not faking injuries, but every time I sit down to watch a game, it's like, who's not playing? I get that. Guys are trying to get better. But, Eddie, you used to shoot it. You shoot it with the best of them. But this three-ball epidemic is, I believe, out of control and hurting the game. You say what to that?
Yeah, it's over the top. But that's the way they're going to play. And I guess we can push back on it all day long, right? Matter of fact, all night long. I just saw Lionel Richie in Las Vegas this past weekend.
Hello? Nice.
Yeah. I got a little all night long still on my mind. But to me, look, if you look at my numbers, I scored over 20,000 playoffs included, and I averaged 1.3 a game in my career. But I can shoot the three. I shot the three 1 year in my career. That's when I won sixth man. I shot 42%. I can shoot it, but I'm like, I was DeMar DeRozan before DeMar DeRozan. Case in point, everybody in the 80s was DeMar DeRozan before DeMar DeRozan. And that ability just to balance your game and do it well. Steph balances his game. People focus on his threes, but Steph got every damn thing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so he's just not all about threes. He knows how to balance his threes with his twos, with his drive, and that's what makes him so great. When it's going good, like Boston was last night against Cleveland, it looks good. And you're like, oh, wow, right? But then other times, like in the second half, they started missing them threes and Cleveland got back in the game.
Right.
Yeah. It's just an ebb and flow. It's an ebb and flow that takes the control from the coach, in a sense, to calm it down. And, yeah, I would like more half-court sets. I would like more half-court design plays run and stuff like that. But it's not going to happen.
Eddie, let me finish up with this one for you, because Kyle Anderson, obviously, is a new Warrior. And Jonathan Kuminga is in his fifth year. And, you know, there's still a lot of excitement about Kuminga, obviously his athleticism, things like that. But there's always been some frustration out here among the fans that Steve hasn't gone to him a lot. But I said this earlier, and you just tell me what you think. I'm like, if there's 5 minutes to go in a tight game and Steve Kerr looks down his bench and sees Kyle Anderson and Jonathan Kuminga, he's going to pick Kyle Anderson. But why do you think that, like, people have asked me what they see in Kyle Anderson, why he's the player he is. You trained him. Can you answer that?
He's a heck of a defender on the ball. You can't go around him. They call him slow-mo, but his arms are so long that it covers his inability to move maybe as quickly laterally as most players. So if you try to go around him, he flicks at the ball. It's just a tremendous gift he has. He's had it since high school. and he's a very good rebounder. So, you know, again, he's got the long arm, so he's going to go in there and get tough rebounds for you. He'll block a shot for you. And strategically, defensively, he's always going to be on point with what they're running. Kuminga is more talented, but he's almost like, probably in their minds, he's like a loose cannon that they don't want to use right now because Steph is their loose cannon and Buddy Hield is their loose cannon. And Andrew Wiggins, on nights when he has it going, is their loose cannon. And that's what he's going to roll with. Yeah. And so anytime you have another guy and those three are out there, he's going to turn to Kyle Anderson because he doesn't want Kuminga out there taking a shot that's reserved for those three.
Yeah.
Now, Kuminga has to, what he has to do, he has to win Steve over. Everybody's had to do it. I had to do it as a player. You know, coaches tried to restrict me. What you do is you push until they finally say, okay, he ready. A lot of times it's a test. And Kuminga can't pout. And sometimes I kind of view him as a pouter. I don't really know for sure, but it does to me. And you just can't do that. I know he didn't get his contract, and that's probably on his mind as well, but you just can't do it. He's a very talented player. He's going to be in the league a long time. He's going to make a lot of money. It might not be the kind of money he wants at the time and place, but he's going to be in the league because he has everything to become a very good player. He just has to be patient.
Eddie, thanks as always,
man.
You're the man, and I guess we're going to see you next weekend maybe in about 2 weeks. And you'll be able to get an up-close look at this Warrior team.
Yeah.
You're going to see me. And we're going to come prepared, though. They wasn't on the schedule early enough to try to get a, you know, try to feel like they can walk and get a good win. they're going to see KD, who, by the way, was probably playing at the MVP level before he went down. And, you know, Bradley Beal's having a heck of a year as well. So, we got a young rookie, too, that could possibly put the clamps on Steph for a few minutes. Just a few minutes.
Well, Eddie, I'll tell you this. Who? You need to be worried about Brunson and company tonight.
Tell the Bay Area who you're talking about.
Look, he gave us 50 last year. So, yeah, we're gonna throw Ryan Dunn on him a little bit.
All right, Eddie. All right. Thanks as always, man.
All right,
you're the best. Eddie Johnson. 17 years in the NBA, now does Phoenix Suns analyst work since 2003. He's also a co-host of the NBA Today show on Sirius XM Radio, and I love him. He tells it like it is.
I'll say this about his point
according to him.
Yeah. Stani, how, like, I'm not saying he can't do it, but this 11 or 12 man rotation to me does not symbol Kuminga's going to be able to do that sooner than later. Make, you know what I mean? Impress Kerr. Like, that should have already happened.
Yeah, I thought the same thing when he was saying that. He's got to win Steve over.
Oh, man.
Now this is year five. But, like, again, and I don't...
Give it to me.
Like, don't you get it? Like, Dalton Connect can come in as a rookie and contribute because he played college for 5 years. 4 years. But he was in college for six. He was in that California college program. So he's 23 and a half years old right now. Problem is, when you're drafting, that feels old. It just does. Evan brought up a great comp. What's his first name? Jaquez.
Jaime Jaquez.
Baller. The guy from UCLA.
Yeah, Miami.
Who came into the league at 23, 24. And he started playing for Miami right away. Like, that's what I said. Like, let's just imagine Kuminga played 4 years of college and this is his rookie year.
But
because he didn't have college.
Yeah. Steiny, if I buy a car and the seller says, hey, it's got a bad starter, when I go to start the car and have difficulty, I'm not surprised. I know. And the Warriors drafted Kuminga like the Niners drafted Trey Lance and the Warriors drafted Wiseman thinking that their team could get him up and ready and going by now.
Well, they made mistakes with Wiseman's ability because it's not like he's gone somewhere else. But to me, it would be like, hey, Warriors, we got this car here, Jonathan Kuminga,
yeah,
but we're only 70% finished with building it. But when it's finished, he's got a shot to be a great player. But you guys are going to have to finish the work on this car. And maybe the Warriors don't feel like they're finished with the work on
and
Jonathan
Kuminga's
car. And invest
some more money, too, into it.
888-957-9570 is the number. We've got Ben Golliver, the Washington Post, their national NBA writer, coming up at 12, which gives us some room on the other side to take some calls about the Golden State Warriors and what Eddie Johnson just said. We're going to go back and go through it because there were about three or four things that interested me. What's coming up on the game is presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. That segment was brought to you by LifeSource Water Systems.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now back to Steiny and Guru. Take it away, Steiny.
Coming up in about 12 minutes, we've got Ben Golliver, national NBA writer for the Washington Post.
Yep.
He was actually at the Warrior-Clipper game on Monday, so he got a firsthand look at the Golden State Warriors. So perfect timing there with Ben Golliver. And we're talking about the Golden State Warriors, and we just talked about Eddie Johnson, and just talked to Eddie Johnson, rather, and...
OG Eddie Johnson.
He's so fun.
Yeah, no doubt.
See, he had a problem with Draymond grabbing Edie's leg.
Yeah. But we did too.
You know what? I think honestly, well, I mean I had a problem with it, but I don't think it's suspension worthy. That's the way I come down on that. Now, Eddie Johnson may be a guy that has had enough of Draymond Green. But
he sounded fair in his response, Donnie, and he didn't like the podcast part of it, too.
Well,
that was the bad look, I believe, in this all. But you can, is going to do Dre, and he can say whatever he wants.
The bottom line is Eddie Johnson is not the first, quote-unquote, old-timer to question the validity of Draymond's toughness and who he goes after and who he stays away from.
That's what's shocking. Suzette called in and brought it up.
I don't have to get into it.
Yeah.
It's former NBA players that kind of smirk at what his act might be.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's more important than what you or I say, I would think. Let's go to Coach in Vallejo.
Oh, there he is.
What's up, Coach? How you doing?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Hanging in, Coach.
Great. I've been listening to the show, and Steiny, first, I want to address the question that the reason why Kuminga will be and Kerr has used him in the closing lineup is because Kuminga is one of the players that can go get you a bucket,
mm-hmm.
and he has done that this year, and he has won the game for the Warriors down the stretch. So he likes Kuminga and Wiggins in the closing lineup. Plus, Kuminga, you know, he has the tools to, you know, get a rebound. He has the tools to play some defense. So I think, and he doesn't make that many errors, as not as much as he used to. So well, I think the biggest thing,
Coach, I'll throw one more at you. What on the pro Kuminga side? He can also get to the line, and last year he shot 75%. So, you know, I'll give you that also. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. You know, and so I think the biggest influence on Kuminga so far has been Jerry Stackhouse.
Mm.
And you know, I'm a bit older than you guys. I'm 69 years old, so I remember watching Stack through college and the pros. And Stack's game is similar, or Kuminga's game is similar to Stackhouse's game. And so I think Kuminga and Stack is really linking up together. And I do like to give credit to Azubuike for pointing out whenever Kuminga does something well, like passing up a three-pointer to get the ball to Buddy Hield or to Curry when he could have shot the three-pointer. He's doing that well this year, knowing when to shoot and when not to shoot. So I see a lot of growth in Kuminga. And the last thing I want to say, guys, and I would like your comment on this, is that the plus-minus is such an overrated stat. I mean, if you're a superstar and you're on a bad team, you're going to have a bad plus-minus.
Yeah.
Plus-minus has as much to do with who you play with as much as, you know,
how you play.
You do yourself.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So it's just as much. So I think Kuminga is doing well. I like what he's doing. I like him being aggressive. And I think Kurt likes him being aggressive, too.
Hey, Coach,
so
before,
thanks a lot, guys. I'll be listening.
Hey, Coach, sure. Before you go, I can't believe you're about to leave out. Now, and again, I understand 11, 12-man rotation. I'm not second-guessing Kerr, but I can't believe you are not hot on the game against the Clippers where Kuminga was 5 of 10. I thought they had nothing for him when he drove to the rack, but for him not to play the last 8 minutes of the game and then you lose the game, I just told Steiny and Evan, from what I saw from Kuminga that game, he should have been in there.
You know, Goo, I am hot, but I've seen Kurt do this Kuminga's whole career.
All right.
So that's what that is. And you know what? Priest called me out the other day. Ask Priest next time you talk to him what Paz's line is this year. The guy, Paz is lost, okay? He's totally lost right now.
Mm.
And he won't even shoot the ball. I mean, he's like 15% from three-point range, 30% from the field, 60% from the free throw line. He won't even shoot now. And so I think, again,
you
know, you could be as smart as you want to be, but it takes some athleticism, too, in this league, and I think that's where he falls short.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Well said, Coach. Well said. Yeah, Pajemski's struggling.
Yeah. 18% from 338 from the – well, I'm just – like, and Pods knows this, Steiny. You got an opportunity now with Melton not there – to kind of get it going, because if you don't get it going and Mel comes back, I'm just saying, you can be forgotten about.
Well, you know who else has a shot? Moody. You know who else has a shot? Hield. You know who else has a shot? Lindy Waters. So he just doesn't get handed that. And that's the part about this that I like, if Steve Kerr can stay consistent this way. Now, listen, when it comes down to Kuminga and Kyle Anderson, I'm not saying that Kyle Anderson's a better player or Steve Kerr's never going to go to Kuminga down the stretch.
But he's, yeah.
But the reality, I just posed a hypothetical of there's 5 minutes left in the game and it's tie and it's a game you got to win. Forget my decision. I just feel like in those situations, for the most part, I think Kerr's going to go to Kyle Anderson, who is really smart and can really defend and is a very good team defender and can pass. And he's more of what Kerr would call a quote-unquote connector. So just, you know, I'm just – I could be wrong, but just watching Steve Kerr over the last decade, it just feels like those are who he goes to.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, and, you know, again, I'm a wannabe coach, Donnie, but – I'm fascinated that player A can have more talent. And in my world, player A is going to be out there, quote unquote, as a cerebral player. So my question to you is, how does Jonathan Kuminga, who's gifted more athletically, you know, by far, how do you get that cerebral? When do you get that? Because to me, you get that in live game action.
Well, Nick Young never got it.
Yeah, but,
and I'm not comparing Kuminga to Nick Young.
No,
but there are players
can't.
Who never get it. And I'm not saying Kuminga, quote unquote, doesn't have it. But he's.
My thing is, when do you work on it? I mean, obviously, you want to work on it all the time, but had he played that last 8 minutes of the game, let's just say it wasn't his best 8 minutes, I think you grow. Even if you don't have your best performance, but I just couldn't believe he didn't get back in that game.
This is Kerr yesterday with the boys on Kuminga.
I like the role for him because he gives us something that we need, you know, that force – that ability to get to the rim, ability to get, he's had a great run here coming off the bench. And so I anticipate that will continue. But, you know, you're always one injury away from everything changing potentially. So you just take it game by game. But I love what JK is doing for us, and his attitude and his approach have been fantastic. And you know, again, the team has come together well. Everybody's committed, and it's fun to watch.
That was Steve Kerr on Jonathan Kuminga. You know what? I had just a small little deja vu about something.
Great Denzel movie.
You know, I just thought of this. I'm not saying anything about it, but when Steve Kerr says, you know, I really like him in that role. Okay. The role, of course, is coming off the bench. So he's basically saying, I really like Kuminga coming off the bench more than a starter. So it's kind of like, it's not the greatest compliment in the world.
Okay.
And it reminds me of something that Eric Musselman once said about Mike Dunleavy. And Eric Musselman coached Mike Dunleavy when Mike Dunleavy was a Golden State Warrior. Of course, now he's the Warriors general manager. But we're talking about Dunleavy one day, and I'll be honest, Musselman wasn't crazy about Dunleavy as a player. And Musselman goes, let me tell you, Mike Dunleavy, he is an excellent inbound passer.
You can't.
He is a great inbounder of the ball. And I was like, that's about as big of an insult as you can give a player. Well, we got to get Mike in there to inbound.
That's right.
And then, of course, Musselman was like, hey, that's a really important skill to have. And if you'll notice, when we have our half-court plays, Mike usually does inbound the ball. He's a great inbounder. And I was like,
yikes.
Well, that tells me you don't
like
him.
It's almost like when you see it, that's a happy baby. Not a beautiful baby. That's a happy baby. I just had the thought with Coach Vallejo. What happened?
Well, you really picked up the pace there a little bit. I thought you were going to come real strong with something.
Yeah. Okay. And I'm just going back to the other night. Bonte has a whole saying, not the division games, Donnie, this one. I don't care who starts, but you can finish. And that's what I like about, you know, this Warrior team. But I just think, and it doesn't happen every game, but Coach showed major growth when he said he was hot, but he wasn't going to say that he thought Kuminga should have finished the 8 games. I'm just going, we have Kerr after game saying he forgot about Moody. Remember that? He said he blacked out. He forgot about a player, putting him back in that game. And I'm not saying that's what happened with Kuminga, but watching that game, I just couldn't believe, Stoney, they didn't call his number in the last 8 minutes.
Well, yeah. I think you're going to have more games where you can't believe it. Just because we've seen it throughout Kuminga's career, and I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon, but we'll see. The Warriors tonight play the Atlanta Hawks, and no D'Anthony Melton. But you brought up Brandon Pajemski, and he's got to step up. What's going on with Pajemski? This is Steve Kerr.
He's searching a little bit. This is not, you know, unusual for a young player to have a bump in the road. He's such a good player. He just has such good feel for the game and for what wins. And even during his shooting struggles, he is he's playing at a really high level. But we know he can play a lot better, and that's exciting.
So I'm getting this from the Comcast Business text line, and they're kind of making a comparison between Jonathan Kuminga and Trey Lance. And they're saying, look, Trey Lance was way more gifted physically than Jimmy or Brock Purdy, but he didn't play. And that's the same thing that's going on with Kuminga when you compare him to Wiggins and to Kyle Anderson. Yeah, he's got more physical gifts than both those guys, but both those guys play ahead of him.
I'll say this to that.
I think there's something there.
Okay, yeah, we got to go.
Let's get right to it. Joining us right now on the River Islands guest line. And remember, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Let's welcome in Ben Golliver of the Washington Post. He's their national NBA writer. He's also an author of Bubble Ball, and he hosts the Greatest of All Talk podcast with, he's a co-host there. Thank you, Ben, so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure, guys. How y'all doing?
We're doing well, and I understand you were at the Warriors-Clippers game on Monday, so you got a firsthand look at Golden State. And I guess the first question I'll ask is pretty much what I ask everybody who sees the Warriors for the first time or who has seen them a little bit this year. Can this 11- or 12-man rotation work for the regular season, the playoffs? Not at all. What, is it sustainable?
Well, I definitely think it's sustainable, and it's something that can work during the regular season. We haven't really seen championship-level teams or contenders try to take that approach in the playoffs, and we've actually seen the Warriors kind of go the other way and tighten things up during their long postseason runs. But I'm glad you started with their depth and their approach there, because so much has been made over the last decade about the Warriors' influence on the NBA, and it always starts with the three-point shot. Steph Curry launches the three-point revolution. But this strength in numbers thing that they were dealing with 10 years ago has become cutting edge. It's the way that everybody's playing basketball to start this season. If you look at the best teams around the league, the Cleveland Cavaliers, who have former Warriors assistant Kenny Atkinson, they play a strength in numbers style. The Boston Celtics play a strength in numbers style. They got Peyton Pritchard, a leading sixth man of the year candidate, coming off the bench. In the Western Conference, even the younger teams, the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Houston Rockets, those teams are kind of playing strength in numbers in terms of going deep into their bench. And I think a lot of it has to do with the salary cap stuff, right? You can't afford to have, a big three gigantic contracts or try to put together a super team with contracts.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
And still fill out your bench and keep up in this fast-paced, pace and space style that has really taken over the NBA. So I think the Warriors, their hot start, it's about the depth, but it's also about that smart planning, cutting ties with Klay Thompson, getting a little bit more flexible there, letting Chris Paul go, getting more salary cap flexibility, and then just filling in with some veteran guys who aren't super expensive but who can give you minutes and can help carry you potentially to April and May and maybe even beyond if the Warriors get some good luck.
Yeah. Hey, Ben, you were at the game Monday at the Intuit Dome, and this was, I know every team's different, but this was the second time the Clippers had beaten the Warriors, this version of the Warriors. And, they don't got a lot of superstars, but they got athletic. They're athletic. They got length. And I remember watching the Warriors against the Cavs. They had that, similar length and athletic guys. Is there any thought that you had about maybe the Warriors moving forward when they face defenses with that ingredient, it might be cause for concern?
Oh, no question. Look, turnovers have been an issue for this group for a long time, probably as long as you guys have been talking about this era, right? And when you're undersized, that becomes a real problem. I mean, they were sloppy. They were careless. They didn't really seem completely locked in. And to go back to the earlier point about the depth, when Steph Curry was off the court, the guys who were stepping into that spot were not playing well, right? I mean, I think Pods, he's got to step up. I mean, I think he had a real tough night against the Los Angeles Clippers. He's got to get out of his head, play a little bit better. That would go a long way to kind of making a more stable in-game experience, I think, just for everybody. But Golden State's, they've beaten a really long and talented team in the finals not too long ago, the Boston Celtics. I don't think it has to be fatal, but I do think that they miss Kevon Looney in that particular game just because the Clippers have a big front line and They needed some bigger bodies, I think, to go back and forth with a player like Zubac. And then they got to clean the turnovers up. I think if they do those things, they're in good shape.
Ben Golliver joining us from the Washington Post. He's their national NBA writer. Let me ask you this about Jonathan Kuminga, Ben. Obviously, he didn't get his rookie extension, and he's headed toward restricted free agency. How do you think it plays out? Because you know how reluctant other teams are to do the Warriors or any teams negotiating for them. And then I believe if you do offer Kuminga a contract, another team, then you got to kind of wait for his answer. How do you see this playing out with Kuminga?
Well, when I saw some of the requests, I guess, from his side of the reports about what he was looking for, I was just scratching my head saying, I don't know where that's coming from. Like, we're in totally different ballpark. So I imagine that's probably why he didn't get a deal done, because it seems to me like perhaps his perception of his own value is a little bit different from what I would be looking at. If I'm trying to pay a young wing these days in the modern NBA, the checklist goes, can you shoot three-pointers at a high volume? Can you play make for your teammates, as a passer, as a drive and kick guy, as somebody who could set up, good offense? So do you have some touch and some feel to your game? Can you handle the basketball? And then can you defend multiple positions at a high level? And you go down that checklist with Kuminga, and how many things is he checking at this point, And it's not like he's still a rookie. I mean, this is year four. So I think he's a fine player. To me, I don't want to be dismissive, but I think the Warriors would be fine without him, going forward into the future. Like, I don't think this is somebody that they have to get into a bidding war with. I don't think this is like a make or break type deal. I understand there's some internal pressure probably because, you wanted to have that youth movement, that two tracks model, and they don't really have very many of those young guys left after Wiseman goes and so forth. So if you're still clinging to that idea, you might be motivated to take care of him. But, to me, he just has not shown very much in his three-plus seasons, and I guess I'm still a skeptic. I don't know. Where do you guys stand?
Go ahead, Goo.
Well, I think it's there. I don't think this 11- or 12-man rotation helps him. And in that game Monday that you were at, I thought, like, man, they need him. And his number wasn't called. So I'm with you. I'm skeptical, but I just think when my coach says we're going to be a strength in numbers, that kind of is a handwriting on the wall. What do you say to that?
Yeah. No, it makes sense. Look, if somebody else wants to come in free agency and pay him like a star and make him a core piece and say, hey, we want to build around this young guy's physical talents, we really believe he can develop as a player. I think if you're Golden State, you say, we're already paying our stars, right? We're paying guys who have won championships, who have been in that spot, and then maybe you're trying to work out a trade, or maybe you're just content to say, hey, it didn't quite work out here. That's how I would approach it. Obviously, Golden State is in a nice position because they've got some of the deepest pocketbooks in the NBA, and so if push comes to shove, they could probably make something happen if they wanted to. But I'm with you. He doesn't feel like a huge priority right now. And honestly, I don't think he's playing his way into being a priority for this group, right? Like, there's the minutes available. Yeah. Go earn them. And I'm just not really seeing it. I've never seen it with him, to be honest. This has been something I've been saying really since his rookie year.
Ben, I needed a bounce back year from Draymond Green. And my goodness, 47% from three, the individual defense, the team defense, and just the relentlessness out there. What have you seen from Draymond Green this season?
No, I like that phrase you use, bounce back, because, I mean, Draymond, he's like one of those guys, it's like you just want to quit him, man. Like, some of these low moments of these last couple of years, it's like, I can't deal with this anymore. Like, you're costing your team in big spots, enough with the technical fouls, enough with the flagrant fouls and the suspensions and all this stuff. But he has been an elite defensive player when he's been on the court, going on a full decade now. It's remarkable. His motor is still there. Shot blocking is there, and when they go to the smaller lineups, man, he contests a lot of shots around the basket. The energy level is always phenomenal, and then it's just pure IQ, and I think sometimes it gets overlooked because of the outbursts, or maybe people don't give him credit for his basketball IQ. I think he's got to be top three or four smartest players in the NBA, and has been for his entire prime. So the fact that he's still doing it is a big reason why the Warriors have been winning with defense to start this season. And I think it's a big reason why you've got to take them seriously again in the playoffs. I mean, we've seen him turn it on in playoff runs. I think the 22 run, there was still some hiccups. Like, it wasn't perfect every single night. Maybe a little bit of a slow start to the finals. But when he hit sixth gear, I mean, Boston had no answers. And as we've come to find out these last couple of years, that was a really good Boston team that Steph Curry dissected and that Draymond Green, I think, kind of pumped mentally, to be honest.
Yeah, Ben Golliver joining us on 95.7 The Game. He works for the Washington Post as their national NBA writer. Let me go back to Draymond for a second, but it's less about Draymond than Draymond and the NBA. So on Friday, obviously there was a play involving he and Zach Edey where he grabbed his leg. I think it was either not called or it was just a regular foul. They upgraded it to a flagrant one. Now, Taylor Jenkins obviously was lobbying for his team, but help me out here because the NBA recently has started, when they fine or suspend a player, they say we're taking into account now past actions. So if that's the case, if Draymond, can you suspend Draymond Green for one game if he's involved in an incident, or would it be more than that because Draymond's got a history?
Well, I think in this scenario, they just decided that contact with Edey wasn't that severe, right?
Right.
I mean, they could have, if they had wanted to, I think that they could, suspend him in that situation if they had viewed that videotape and said, hey, yeah, like, we feel like this crossed the line. The referees just missed it. It's totally unsportsmanlike. We've got to throw the book at him. I mean, they came up with the indefinite suspension last year. Had anybody ever heard of that one before?
It's
like, we're sending Draymond to timeout. We don't know when he's coming back, right? So, I mean, clearly they can kind of do what they want when it comes to punishment and taking care of it. But look, I don't like it when guys play around other guys' ankles or their knees when they're laying on the court, like Sabonis was laying on the court. I think you should be a hardline league on that kind of contact. But with the Edey one, I understand why Memphis would make a big deal about it because there's been, some bad blood between those two teams over the years. And so I get, the campaigning that they did. I feel like it landed at a reasonable place. I didn't think this was the worst thing in the world. And I do think, though, they got to keep a close eye on Draymond Green, right? This is going to be a long season. It's going to get fierce. It's going to get, they're going to be fighting for playoff position for the next 4 or 5 months, right? So there's going to be a lot of heated moments, a lot of long road trips, a lot of late game clutch situations. If he loses his cool, I think the Joe Dumars and the guys in the NBA league office need to be ready. That's their job.
Yep.
Hey, Ben, a quick question here. The ratings are down. When you hear that, do you make a correlation between the load management? Because I don't know what to put my finger on it, and I love ball, and I don't like to hear it, but what comes to mind when you hear the NBA ratings are down?
Well, there's, I think, a lot of different things. Number one, we saw over the summer that people love the older stars. I mean, Steph, LeBron, KD just captivating the world, right? Like, just taking care of business over there in Paris. It was such an amazing summer of basketball to be over there in Paris and watch those guys do their thing. But we know fans love the latest and greatest, the new deal, right? And those guys have been just dominating for so long. I think people are ready for some fresh blood. And you look at the next generation of stars. I mean, Jokic has been out for a week, no real explanation. Embiid shoving reporters, not really on the court, right? Giannis is struggling with his team, can't get them on track. Ooh. And you go to the even younger generation, I think there's another thing going on, which is the dramatic rise in the three-point shot. If you look at Anthony Edwards, Victor Wembanyama, Jalen Green. I mean, a number of these guys are very high draft picks. LaMelo Ball, Brandon Miller. These are like top three picks from, say, the last 4 or 5 years of draft classes, right? So these are the future faces of the NBA. Well, a lot of those guys are out there shooting 8, 9, 10, 11, even 12 three-pointers a night. And I think some fans like it, some fans don't. I mean, these guys don't shoot it like Steph Curry, right?
Right.
Like, it's not as entertaining, as exciting as Steph Curry. So I think it gets to be a little bit repetitive. And I think that might turn some people off. And then some of the other guys who I think could have been big ratings drivers, like Zion, Ja Morant, those guys are out injured. I think that's a factor as well. And I think the NBA is in a spot where, look, it's a superstar league. So if it's load management, if it's injuries, if guys are just, shooting a lot of threes and some fans don't like it, I think you add all those things up and not really having that person to take the baton from LeBron, Steph, and KD. I think those are some of the reasons why maybe there's a little bit of a lull right now. But I would just encourage people, and I'm sure you guys have been watching these games, the games are competitive to start the season. Whether it's the NBA Cup or otherwise, we're not getting so many of those 30-point blowouts that we were seeing these last couple of years. I think the defensive intensity in a lot of cases is back. even though the scoring figures are inflated, I think defenses are adjusting a little bit, and you're getting a lot of really tense late-game situations. I mean, a team like the Bucks, every night it goes down to the final possession, it feels like, right? A team like the Pistons, they've been completely irrelevant for years. They've been playing some just crazy games, going to overtime, last-second shots. I mean, even some of these teams that, we look at the standings and say they're kind of also rants, have been really providing an entertainment value. And so I do think it's important for media guys like us. Look, I understand the ratings might be down, but it's worth watching. You know, this is a good product, and there's definitely been a worse product here, I think, at other times over these last couple of years. I think they've got a better balance between offense and defense this year, and I think you've got a really competitive race, especially in the Western Conference. Like, almost any of these teams could make the playoffs. It's really, really crazy, the depth of talent in the West.
Washington Post national NBA writer Ben Golliver joining us on 95.7 The Game. I'll get you out of here on this one, Ben, because you cover the league as a whole. The Warriors, obviously, in the offseason went after Paul George, and they had interest in Lauri Markkanen, and they're talking about if a big boy comes available, they think they can make a splash. Where are we with Joel Embiid and the value he may have around the league? And then what do you think is going on with Giannis?
Well, I don't know if you're looking at it from this from a Warriors perspective, but, I mean, stay away. Not getting Paul George was the best thing that ever happened to the Golden State Warriors this summer. That's a huge contract. You look at what he's doing in year one. This was the year the contract was supposed to be good value, right, because he's getting older and older and declining. He's not contributing to wins. They're one of the worst teams in the league. He's not providing a leadership presence on that group because he's the new guy. And he's really never had that role, during his prime years. You didn't miss anything there. Now, in terms of Joel Embiid, he just signed a massive contract. You have huge injury red flags. You're seeing reports this week about commitment issues and is he bought in and all of that. That's just a player who you're not going to trade him at the lowest point of his trade value, right? And this earlier in his contract, I mean, I just don't think you're going to get anything close to equal value. I think if you're Philadelphia, you're just stuck and you're going to have to ride these guys out for the next couple of years, even if it means a lot of losses. Now, with Giannis, I think the ball's a little bit more in his court, right? Because he's out there playing every single night. He's putting up monster numbers. He said for years he wants to compete for a championship, and the Milwaukee Bucks do not have a championship roster around him, not even close. I mean, he's been, arguably, like, numbers-wise, an MVP-type candidate, and these guys are way below 500, and they have one of the worst clutch offenses in the NBA because nobody on the team can even hit a shot. So that's one where I do think you have to circle. Now, is he going to want to, like, uproot his life with a midseason trade request? Is he willing to wait to the summer? Is he going to give it a chance for some of these guys to get back healthy? I mean, Giannis has never been, super proactive. This is not Kevin Durant in Brooklyn, right, where he's just trying to get out by any means necessary, or Kyrie Irving trying to get out by any means necessary. But I think if you're circling, like, the next big star who could change teams, I think Giannis is the most obvious candidate at this point. And that's not to take anything away from his loyalty. It's not to, like, put the Bucks down as an organization. It's just to say this is the end of the road. I mean, they're too old. They're not deep enough. They don't have very much continuity. Giannis and Dame do not make each other better. Doc Rivers' record since taking over has just been absolutely abysmal. It just feels like too much negative inertia for one superstar to overcome. You start to imagine him in some other locations. I mean, I'm sure he would love to play with the spacing that the Warriors have, right? I'm sure he'd love to play with the young athletes that are down on the Houston Rockets, right? You can imagine some of these scenarios that would be better for Giannis to spend his next chapter, and I think he's getting to that point of his career.
Ben, thank you so much for joining us. Really great NBA discussion. We appreciate your time.
All right, guys, take care.
Yes, sir. That's Ben Golliver, Washington Post. He's their national NBA writer. He's also an author of Bubble Ball. That was about the NBA season in the bubble. And he's a co-host of the Greatest of All Talk podcast.
Wow, man, good stuff.
Boy, we got to get into some of this stuff that Eddie Johnson said and Golliver.
But Golliver, Steiny, the league is still ran by LeBron, Curry and Durant. Not that that's a bad thing, but Zion, Ja being out, gunplay. Like, I hadn't even thought about it from that vantage point. All the young eyeballs that they were bringing in, and then they've, like, it's still ran by Steph, Bron, and Durant. Anthony Edwards made noise, but he's been kind of quiet this season. You know, they're criticizing him because he's taking too many threes. He's still a bad boy, but man.
Did you hear Ben Golliver say, yeah, the Warriors, they can do without Jonathan Kuminga?
I did hear it.
Did you hear it?
I didn't like it, but man, Steiny.
And then, I don't know how the Kuminga thing is going to play out. I'll tell you what I
what
am.
What if it's playing out and we're kind of, I'm not blinded, but let's follow the money, one, with the decision on not to extend him, but two, unless he gets on a heater and, like, the Bonte thing, I keep going to it. Steiny, I don't care how he plays. Is he out there at the end? That signals to me they got confidence in you. And if we're going to go 10 or 15 more games and it's kind of wishy-washy, then I think we're getting our answer.
I think you're absolutely right. And the other thing that Ben Golliver said was, you know, he heard some of the numbers that Kuminga wanted, and now I am convinced. I do believe the Warriors wanted to pay him 30, and he wanted north of 45.
Oh,
and
man.
The Warriors, can they do that? I don't know. I don't know if they can do that. That's a lot of money.
But he's not. I love JK. You 45?
That's
Barnes in Toronto. Like, that ain't no. Like, man, you got to have a true sense of your value, Steiny. And if you're asking for that, you may not get that anywhere.
Well, you probably won't. I mean, what NBA team right now would pay Jonathan Kuminga the same contract as, you know, all his class got at max money? You know, this is where he does pay the price for being drafted onto a heck of a team and having trouble getting
I'm rooting for
playing
him,
time. Let's go to Ike in Springville. Hey, Ike, what's going on?
Hey, man, not much is happening. But I just quickly want to say that I think the obvious reason why the ratings are down is, man, people can't afford it.
Well,
I'm not talking about going to the game. I'm talking about, like, I live in the hills. The only way I get you guys is through the Odyssey app.
Okay.
But a lot of people just can't afford to get that pay-per-view or Netflix or whatever, cable TV. Man, people just can't afford it. That's why the ratings are down.
All right. Thanks, Ike. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I get what we're like, but Steiny, I don't think that's it. Half these games are on ESPN or local cable package, but it's there for you to not have the league pass. You're getting games 3-4 times a week.
Well, I do think there is something to people are making choices about what they want to watch. So it's not just like if you're an NBA fan, yeah, you can get ESPN. But if you want to get ESPN plus Netflix, plus Max, plus Hulu, plus all these things that don't have packages, Showtime, Stars, like then you look at your bill at the end of the month. You say, wow, I paid $160 for all these different services. I think I got to cut one of them. And if you're not the biggest sports fan and you're not going to see Joel Embiid play, you're not going to see a certain player play every night, and you're not the biggest NBA fan anyways, well, then that's the first on the chopping block.
Yeah, I'm with you there because...
So I'm asking Evan just real quick, to that point, do you think that just started or because there's Hulus and all these new, you know, options, now what you just said, people have to choose now?
Yeah, I think it's been going on for some time, but now the packages are beginning to get a little more expensive. Right. Netflix used to be $5, then it was $8, now it's $12, and
20,
all of those things
are
going up continuously that people aren't paying for cable, which basically just gives you the option to choose whatever you want. So, cord cutting is I think, impacting the NBA.
Yeah, I think it's obviously it's not just one thing, but if you were to ask me why ratings are down, it's the two biggest reasons would be the perception that the players don't care enough, which leads to not playing all the time, and that has an effect. And then I just think the game itself right now is not exciting enough for a lot of fans. I don't know what the number is right now, but 40%+ of the shots are threes. Say what you want. Like, Steph Curry's one of the most exciting players in the league. But there's no other exciting three-point shooters, and that's not the only thing he does either. I don't want to see a guy shoot 10 shots from 28 feet.
No, gotcha.
Well, and that's a problem.
Yeah, no, and whatever. It's like roundtable pizza. It's a combo. But to that point, if you like ball like we do, how many people do we know have said, I'm taking it to the extent of I'm not even going to consume it? Well, like, I'm mad at the three-ball thing, but I'm watching every night.
Well, that's great.
Do you think fans are like, you know what? It's too. I'm out.
Well, hold on a sec.
Yeah.
Let's just. And I'm not. I'm looking at the schedule tonight. Pelicans, Cavaliers. You know what, Debbie? No Zion. I don't really want to watch that game. Bulls, Milwaukee Bucks. I'm out on that game.
Well, Dame hit a game winner. I'm going to see if they win two in a row. But go ahead.
Indiana, Houston.
Jalen Green.
Philly, Memphis. I mean,
no job. I get the drift.
Last night was a TNT game. I turn on OKC San Antonio because I want to see Wemby. First thing is Victor Wembanyama is out for this game because he hurt himself previously. Like, okay, well, I'm not watching this game anymore.
Right. And
I turned it on like, oh, he's in street clothes.
And I'm not, you know, I think there is a difference between a guy who's injured and a guy who's hurt. A guy who's hurt can't play, but nobody's playing injured anymore.
Man,
nobody.
Oh, man.
It's just not done anymore. And now, who in the hell would watch a San Antonio Spurs game if Wembanyama's not playing?
Not Evan and not... Well, I watched my neighbor had been...
Well, I mean, and you know what, Goo? You can say that, and we know what that really means, but I'm honest enough to say, sorry. You can't get me to watch Philadelphia-Memphis. You know, and it's great that you say you would watch him and you say you did watch him, but we all know better.
But what about the gambling component? Like, so those are who's watching those games.
Well, okay, then that is, that's an audience that's so small,
right.
So as not to even make an impact.
Okay, let's just, to Ben's point, I think he's on to something. So no Zion, no Ja.
Of course.
So they were captivating, Stoddy. So what if those young, whatever, millennials, whatever, are just done with the product until they come back. Like, I could see that. No Ja, no Zion. I'm not watching. So I think it's something to that, too.
Of course. Load management is the devil's best friend.
I don't know how Adam Silver combats that. How can you tell a guy, Stoudy, you're not hurt, you're just injured, you can play?
Yeah, it's a good fair point. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. What's coming up on the game is presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.